trying to understand what coaches mean when they say success. It's a kind of a word that gets thrown around a lot, regardless of what level of sport you're either coaching or playing in.
Coaches, welcome back for another week of the Talking Split podcast. I am Rob Calder, joined by Zero BV staff this week, but we do have in place of that Will Vickery from the Australian Sports Commission, who is going to talk about a project he's been working on of late around success as a coach, what that looks like, what that means, what's the definition of it, where can it sit within the confines of grassroots sport all the way up into the high performance space. So regardless of the level you're coaching at, there will be a conversation in here that will hopefully resonate with you throughout. And massive thanks to Will, of course, for giving up his time on that. But we'll cut straight to Will now. So, rapt to be joined today by Will Vickery, who is the Senior Advisor in Coaching and Officiating at the Australian Sports Commission. Will, welcome. If you want to just give us a bit of a background in your sort of life of sport and academia, that'd be a fantastic start.
Yeah. Hello, Rob. Good to be here. Thank you for having me along, first of all. So my current role, as you said, is as a Senior Advisor of Coaching in the Coaching and Officiating team at the Sports Commission. But to get to that point, I actually have held a few roles within academia, within research and the like. It's all been sport coaching and sport coaching development. I'm actually really not that interesting when it comes to variable topics and the like with that stuff. But everything I've done has always some way, shape or form revolved around coaching and coach development. And that is very much a case of, like I said, the research has always kind of focused on how we can be more effective coaches. That's where a lot of that's come from. A lot of the subjects that I was involved in and taught, same thing. But I guess the most important thing as well is I've coached since I was 15 in various environments. It's mostly within cricket, but from juniors, seniors, high performance, community sport, all of that stuff. I've been coaching in some way, shape or form since then.
It's a great lens, I think, to look at it from, because the synergies between, I think, basketball in our sense, obviously, and cricket are fairly compelling in that both have like really individual aspects to it in terms of what you're doing, but also that greater picture of where does that fit into the team environment at the same time. So it's a great lens, I think, you bring to this in particular, in that you are coaching the individual, but you're also coaching a bigger portion of the individual and how to get them to, say, buy into their role within a team, what that impacts down the line. So I think it's a really good sort of synergy between the two sports, in particular with your background in cricket. But I'm curious as to where your project came from and, you know, what is it to start off with, but where did it come from?
Yeah, so the project is you know, and I guess a real broad sense, is trying to understand what coaches mean when they say success. It's a kind of a word that gets thrown around a lot, regardless of what level of sport you're either coaching or playing in. Like, success is a term that gets used everywhere, but nobody really, I think, understands truly what it means. It's never really explicitly written down anywhere. I'm not suggesting that everyone should have an explicit definition written down, but it's just a kind of a misunderstood, but also a misrepresented word, I think, a lot of the time. So the idea was that we were just trying to gather some information about, like, what does it mean, like, for coaches? We know a lot about, like, how an athlete and what their views of success are. Like, that's actually a pretty heavily researched topic to a degree, but we don't really know much about the coaches. And I guess where it came from, transitioning into this role at the Sports Commission, I became a lot more aware of people talking about success in a few different ways than I had known about it in most of my adult life. I've been working in academia, so I had a really kind of broad, I suppose, narrow view on what it means. Moving into this environment really changed that. Well, not changed it, but opened me up to new ideas and exploring what success could be in a sporting context and a coaching context in particular. And just, I guess, through conversations, it really just spurred me on a little bit more to truly understand it, because I guess in my role at the Sports Commission, I am trying to support all of our sports organizations around the country in making coaching more effective in various different ways. And I think underlying all of that is like, what do they mean by success? Because what happens in your role, for example, at the state level could be really different to what's happening at the grassroots level, for example. So it really becomes important in that way.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, obviously we facilitate a lot of coaching courses and those sorts of things as well, and PD opportunities for coaches. And I think one of the core things we come back to is what's your coaching philosophy and what's your philosophy on coaching, but we don't really touch on what success is, and the link between the two I think is fairly compelling in that space, because if your coaching philosophy is robust, bulletproof to a point, well, success should inherently be a byproduct of that. But which one comes first? There's a bit of chicken and the egg about it.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the way I kind of look at this topic as well, that it is kind of intertwined with that coaching philosophy that a lot of coach education, PD, whatever it happens to be, but that alignment to it does absolutely hold firm. Just looking, and a lot of those, I suppose, coaching philosophies talk about the values or the beliefs that somebody has as well, and that this idea of success fits into that in the same respect. You could, some of these words you could essentially, I guess, be interchanging with each other, but there are obviously some slight differences. But it is a major part, I think, to your point, yeah, of what I say somebody's philosophy would be. Like, let's have a think about like what success genuinely looks like, and you can almost work backwards from that when you're actually trying to form what your philosophy to coaching really means, what you value, those sorts of things.
Yeah, and I think that's such a big part of what coaches have. Everyone wants to be successful, whether it be in sport, whether it be in life, it doesn't really matter. I think everyone wants to be successful at what they do in that space. So it's one of the few places where I think there is a genuinely consistent feel, is that everyone wants to go through that successful component of whatever they're doing. I suppose what was the process you've undertaken to this point with your project, and what are the major findings you've had, I suppose, to this point, because it's an ongoing project, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to kind of touch on a point you made a second ago there before I do jump in, if that's all right. I think part of what this, I guess, all resembles is this idea of, yeah, success means different things to different people. But I think the view that we have with regards to, I guess, or our understanding, if you look at popular culture, media, et cetera, if we're just talking about success in one way, and that's often a performance direction, or at least that's what we would be led to believe. I think when we talk about success in that like team sport ladder context in particular, it would, I guess, by definition mean that only one team was successful in a season, and everybody else who didn't win the premiership is not successful. Now, that's a pretty binary way to look at it, but it's also a pretty poor way to look at it, which kind of does explain a lot of the findings. Well, I guess explain it. It highlights that it's not the main finding that I think people would be led to believe when we just talk about success. So in terms of what we did, I actually sent out, we did a survey, quite a lot of coaches across the country, anyone who coaches Aussie sport, as Aussie athletes in general. And so really wanted to chat from everyone at those entry-level touch points. Might be somebody's very first, I guess, point in time being involved in sport, all the way through to those athletes that or coaches who coach athletes competing on that international scale and everything between. So had about 800 odd survey respondents for that, so a pretty good snapshot, but followed it up as well with some interviews with, again, coaches from each of the different sectors that we identified in terms of coaching levels. And so that, again, ranged from grassroots all the way up to national coaches. So yeah, had a really, really good cross-section of Australian coaches. So we were pretty confident that we were going to get some good ideas and themes popping out. Now, in terms of, I guess, the major findings, I mean, I could spend, and I won't take up all your time here, Rob, but I could obviously spend the rest of the podcast because going through all those, because there really were quite a lot. But I guess from a really broad sense, because we might unpack some of the other bits a little bit as we go, but a really broad sense, success really does appear in the Australian coaching context to be really aligned to what we refer to as a humanistic approach. And that essentially, in, I guess, layman terms, simply means, in this case, our coaches had much more of a growth development mindset when we talk about players. So they weren't necessarily focused on winning or other elements of performance. It definitely was a factor. But this humanistic approach is what kind of seemed to underpin a lot. And it's because people had these they wanted to grow or develop the athlete in certain ways, whether that be skill, whether that be as a person or other things that kind of relate to things outside of that performance environment a lot of the time. So that was, I guess, the major thing that really stood out.
Yeah, and that's refreshing, in all honesty, to hear that that was such a big indicator, I guess, of success in general, because I think so often we are held to account by a scoreboard, by a ladder, as you mentioned before as well, in that, you know, do the best coaches win? Well, maybe, but do they win because of the work they've done before that point where they have to win? And usually we find that is the case. It's not necessarily the coaches that are winning that are the most successful. You know, that might be part of a narrative for sure, but it's the ones usually at that grassroots level that are keeping it engaging for kids, keeping it safe for kids, getting to a point where their kids fall in love with the sport and want to come back. Like, it's very hard for someone to achieve success if they leave the sport. So that's a big part of it.
100%. And that is another major, I guess, if you start to boil down to some of the other like specific findings, engagement was a big factor. And that includes that this idea of retention and enjoyment as well. They were really big themes that popped out. So yeah, it's not a, it's like, to use your words, refreshing to see it, to come across that. That was really quite cool. But to the other point about the performance, the winning in particular, this concept of winning isn't everything, which is, it's a cliche term that everybody has heard over the years if you've ever played sport, but it was actually really ringing true. Like, so again, success was deemed to be, I guess, something that led to winning in a lot of contexts, but it was all of those things around engagement, enjoyment, play development, etc. You do all of those things, if you're successful at that, then that's where the performance side kind of takes care of itself. So this idea of winning isn't everything came up a lot, combined with, like, it's almost a composite of all of these other factors, and eventually we get to winning.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Like, this is one I must admit that really sort of captured my attention more than anything else, because we do spend a lot of time with grassroots coaches who in a lot of cases are parents that are maybe doing it under duress, that don't necessarily want to coach their child or anything like that, but if they don't coach, who does? They might be siblings that are like, hey, you know, we dragged you around for 4 or 5 years as a player. Now it's your turn to give back and coach your younger sibling in that sort of space as well. There are so many people that are volunteers that I think get lost in the success metric, for lack of a better term, but without them as a sport, and that's not just basketball, I think that's every sport across the board, it comes to a screeching halt around the country.
100%. And I think it was why it was one of the really big things for us when we started to look into this research and trying to just get to the bottom of it, really, is the importance that is, or that comes with being a grassroots coach. It's absolutely vital that these people exist. And to your point, yeah, most of them are volunteers. So the expectation, although they have like lots and lots to do, the expectation should be lowered because they are volunteers. They may not have experience in the same way that a state level or a national level coach would. So the measure of success, or the way they view success, should also be adjusted to that environment. Like, we can't expect our grassroots coaches to place the same value on what it is to be successful as people in the performance space. It's just unrealistic. So, it was really important that we try to understand the differences for us between the different levels, and particularly given the work that I'm involved in all the time here at the Commission, really understanding what happens within the community, because that's where the success really happens from a player development and growth level. And again, that's why it was really refreshing to hear these people talking about it in that way.
Yeah, I think it's actually great that it's unrealistic to try and compare the two as well. Like, they are just such very different environments. Like, it is genuinely one of those things where, look, if you're a full-time paid coach, there probably are some expectations around winning, or you may not be a full-time paid coach for very long. It's one of those areas. Every whether it be state sporting organisation, national sporting organisation, club, association, we'll have different metrics that they put around that as well. I'm just curious, how did you get the coaches to define success on their end? What was the questions that you sort of led them down the path with in that space?
Yeah, so we were reasonably lucky in that there was a little bit, and when I say little bit, there was like one paper that clearly had this sort of topic in mind that had been published before we started to look into it. And that, but that was actually done in the Czech Republic, Czechia. And that was the only context that we could find where this had happened. And in that study, they had identified some key themes with respect to what success meant to the coaches that they looked into. So we were quite lucky that we used those themes to allow us to explore things in the Aussie context. So that did help. So it was simply a case of adjusting, or like not necessarily bolting those into what we did, but that kind of allowed us to frame some of the questions. And that was simply a case of, for example, I mean, there were keywords. We weren't looking to set out to quite literally create a definition of success. The idea was to capture words, capture phrases. And that started within the survey. We also got people to kind of rank things in terms of the importance they placed on these different characteristics of success that we knew existed in other contexts. So that was a reasonably straightforward way of doing it in the survey to begin with. After that, and that gave us a really good picture of like where to start from. The surveys themselves, the interviews following that were where we're going to really get some meat on the bone scenario, right? So we gathered some of the data that we got from the survey and really fleshed out some of these key points when we spoke to these coaches, and we got them to really just explore and explain in more detail, like what the difference between, say, performance to, say, sport or emotional growth might look like in the context, and why something was more important to them, or they placed more value on one thing over another, and just really get into like where this all comes from.
Yeah, and it's fascinating too that how often you might be, as a coach, the instigator of putting a player on a path to seeing success, but you're not around to actually witness it as well. And that's, if I was going to coach tomorrow, I'd coach under 12s. Like, that's where I feel like I would have the most amount of impact, with a whole bunch of kids that are just starting their journey. Under 18s, they've kind of figured their own stuff out by that stage. Am I going to have a lasting impact? Maybe, but you know, I don't think it's the same as say under 12s. But there are plenty of times where I feel like under 12s coaches don't get disrespected, but almost get don't get the credit they deserve in that space, because they do put the kids on the right path. They teach them the right things early. And that's not necessarily the on-court performance so much as it is being a good person, showing respect to officials, coaches, teammates, opposition, those sorts of things as well. That's such a big part of success. Like, if you were going to ask me what is success, it is not winning. Like, it's a nice end result for sure, but it's not winning in that space. But you probably don't see those traits for probably 3 to 4 years after they've first been acknowledged, I think, for players. And that's tough for some coaches to kind of get their head around, is you're doing the groundwork so that someone else can experience success later to a degree.
Yeah, it's a really good call out. I mean, it's not something we necessarily explore too much, but it really makes sense when you say it out loud. I will say 12 is probably my sweet spot as well. It's a nice age group to get to get involved in. They're just happy to be there, I think, for the most part. Yep. Haven't been jaded by all of this other stuff yet. But you're right, absolutely. And we did see in some of the results that there wasn't a clear distinction between like these age groups or these coaching levels placed more emphasis on winning compared to others. It wasn't as if like people in younger age groups place less importance on winning, and like it wasn't as clear cut. If you explore through some of the data, it is in and amongst that, and it does seem to be a bit of a theme. But what was more obvious, I suppose, was in, say, those performance environments that aren't under 12s, but even if it's like at 18s, like it might be regional level, might be your state team, etc. The coaches at that top, at like higher end, didn't necessarily place as much, I guess, importance or value to things like engagement, to enjoyment, to things that you would pretty much like if you're going to characterize community sport, particularly like at the, say the under 12s level, that's the way you would describe it a lot of the time. It's, I don't think it's necessarily a case of like those performance coaches didn't value that. The point you made earlier, which kind of aligns to this, is there are probably more responsibilities and expectations of those performance coaches that now have winning or specific skill development or performance-based measures that they have to include rather than take away enjoyment, engagement, etc. So they just have some other priorities that they have to include, which your under 12 coach probably doesn't have to worry about.
Yeah.
I'd be concerned if like an under 12s coach had to prioritize winning and individual or team success as part of their definition. It's there. It just kind of depends on, I guess, the complexity and the variability that exists across those different contexts, which is why it was so fascinating for us to kind of explore it. And again, highlight the importance this has at a grassroots and community level.
Yeah, and it's even fascinating to work out what does your cohort that you're around at that point in time define as success. So what you think is success as a coach may not be what the players think is success, may not be what the parent group thinks is success. And trying to get everyone on the same page with that, because it's one of those things where and it's, again, very cliched, but, you know, every player is only one good coach away from really excelling in what they do. Like, it's realistic. Whether that player realizes that at the time or not, maybe not. Like, they might be too emotionally immature at that point in time where they still value winning over everything else, not realizing that all the stuff that sits in the background is actually what's making them the person in general. There might be parents that feel the same way. You know, we really want our child to win. It's like, actually, your child's probably going to get a little bit more out of losing than winning. Like, those are the bridges, I suppose, between the three parties.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. And that was, again, that sort of sentiment was seen within the data. The idea that things like, or I say sport growth, and what I mean by sport growth is play development. That was a major part. And that might be skill. That might be, I don't know, things like resilience, team cohesion, except like it's those sorts of elements that are everything that exists within sport that people at that younger age group, for example, really do need to explore and develop, that just aren't the winning side of it. So that was really clear, that things around those sentiments, whether they be sport growth, emotional growth, personal growth, like, they were the main contributors to a lot of how these people viewed success, which was really cool. And again, just harking back to one of those earlier points, eventually they will see the clearer picture of like, yeah, these do lead to winning, but it doesn't have to be the be all end all to start with. And that is the difficulty, I suppose, that we don't have to tell you, but that's the difficulty in being a coach at that younger age group. Yeah. You've got to sometimes get them to look a lot more broader in terms of what success could mean, because, they've got lots and lots of different experiences and external influences that can influence that.
Yep.
So your role as the coach here is to be pretty clear with what success is.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I'm thinking back to my coaching journey now. And you know, I entered coaching fairly young. I think I was 15 or so at the time when I first started coaching in that space. So my definition of what success would have been at that point absolutely would have been winning. And I'm now sort of trying to put into my head, was I of that mindset because I was young physically? Was I young mentally? Or did I just not have enough reps of coaching to see the bigger picture at that point in time? Like, are you better off coming in to sport as a coach early and having to sort of learn as you go, or are you better off assisting for a little while, helping someone else out, seeing what their process, system, definition looks like in that lens as well, before then going and applying it yourself? Because I think there was part of me that really likes that I had to go through the ringer to a degree and learn the wrong stuff along the way.
Yeah, and look, I agree. Like, I don't necessarily think anyone's going to ever come into, like, if you're brand new into coaching, I think back to when I was 15 and getting into it, I probably had the same view as well. I probably did have more of a performance lens over everything. I don't know if anybody would ever come into like their coaching environment not thinking about winning. I think it's almost a given. The amount of brain power you put towards it is obviously going to change between people, but I think you kind of do need to go through the ringer to really understand what success truly means. And again, this is me more anecdotally talking. There wasn't an awful lot of evidence to back this up, but yeah, I think life experience is the genuine thing that's going to allow people to truly understand what success means in that coaching context. What I can say, though, in terms of what we did find with respect to that, now it wasn't like considerable significant differences between some of the characteristics when we talk about age, but there were a few trends that did highlight that people who had been coaching for longer periods of time, regardless of the level, so it didn't have to be a national coach or whatever, but just anyone who was a bit older compared to, say, we didn't look at anyone under the age of 18, so I can't speak to anything below that, but people who were a bit in those older generations did tend to talk a little bit more or value a little more the personal emotional growth of the people they were coaching. And it's not, like I said, wasn't a clear cut difference, and it was limited. But in terms of the language they use, in terms of the way they describe things, they did talk about the person, not necessarily the athlete, in a lot of ways. So there was that slight difference, but that comes with age, I think, and experience. And I think that's what we're talking about here, right? Is you're probably not going to know that when you first step foot onto the coaching environment, because you just don't have that experience to know otherwise.
Yeah, it's bang on, because I genuinely remember when I was maybe 18 or 19, a bad refereeing call would have ruined my weekend. Yeah. Whereas now it's like, oh, well, like it's, you know, it happened. Like it doesn't really matter. It's not going to really change my weekend either way as to what that looks like. But it is funny how that changes over time. You get a little bit more of an understanding of, look, what is actually important? Is this, you know, am I prepared to lose a game by giving a kid an opportunity that doesn't normally get an opportunity, or this will be an opportunity for their growth? Yeah, I am now. Like, and it's one of those things I think you learn over time that, you know, your measure of success will change. And I like the fluidity of that personally.
Yeah, it's absolutely the case. And that's a kind of a key takeaway that we did find as well, is that it sounds really obvious when you say it out loud, so it's not as if this is groundbreaking, but the context you're in is going to dictate to a degree what your definition of success is, or at least the different things that you value. It's an obvious point to make, but people did speak to the evolution, for example, of their definition, or at least how it kind of did change in certain contexts. So that was really clear. And because, I mean, I suppose a lot of the people who would listen to this, or you work with, I work with, let's say that they are a state coach or a rep coach of some description, it's probably likely that they might have a kid or two. And then they may go back and coach the under 12s that we were talking about as well. It'd be crazy to have the same version or definition of success in those two different contexts, right? But that was called out on the odd occasion by the people that we spoke to in particular. So it is clear, and it does make sense, that people do have the ability to change the way that they view success in certain contexts.
Yeah, and I suppose it has an overarching lens on what society looks like to a degree as well. Like, what is the point of sport in general? Like, it's, you know, is it to perform at Olympic Games and those sorts of things? Look, maybe, like, for some people, but it's, you know, what is the percentage of those athletes playing the sport compared to everyone else that plays the sport? Is it to help try and produce great people? I would strongly suggest that should be towards the pointy end, you know, on my end as well. But it's kind of like a case of, you know, winning is important. Look, I don't disagree. There are times where it is the most important thing potentially going for a lot of people. I'm kind of grateful that I'm not really in that headspace with my coaching at the moment, where I value it so much that I can maybe strip some things back and sort of say, hey, look, this might lead to winning, but it's a bit of a shortcut that we'll have to pay for later down the road with our coaching side of things, whereas maybe it's a really good thing to lose this game, or maybe it's a really good thing to have a player struggle a little bit at a training session because they can't, and you know, put it in basketball terms, we're not letting them go to their right-hand side all the time because they always go to their right-hand side. We need you to go to the left. And you might put some constraints around that. It's like, hey, look, every time you score with your right, it actually doesn't count. But if you score with your left, you know, it's worth two or something like that. That is a way of seeing success on the court that I think will also help them off the court, because the kids will go through that struggle as well, where they sit there and they pout a little bit. Oh, this is not fair. I'm not allowed to do this. Why can't I do this? And it's like, good. Like, it's not always fair. Like, this is where you have to learn to adapt as a player. This will be when you go and work for the first time and it's like, hey, we don't want you to do something this way. We need you to do it that way. Oh, okay, why do I have to do it that way? I need to adapt to what this looks like, those sorts of things as well. So it is like the role of sport that it plays here is not just the scoreboard necessarily.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I guess that speaks to one of the really big things. Again, I talked about sport growth already, but the developing people bit is a massive thing when it comes to viewing success by our coaches. And that does include things like, well, that live outside of sport. Like that was really refreshing to hear people physically say, like, it's right. It's nice. You often might hear some things that people say in the background, or it's kind of a sentiment that gets passed around the sports ecosystem, but to physically hear people talking about how they're actually trying to develop a person and the various things that can contribute to that within sport is really, really good to hear. It actually is somewhat not opposed, but it actually isn't necessarily what was found. We did a broader review of all of this, this idea of success on I guess more of an international research scale as well in the coaching context. And the idea of developing the person didn't come up as much as we kind of expected it to. So to actually have it show up, I guess, as the main contributor in a lot of ways in this Australian context kind of made my heart sing a little bit. And then I get that sounds a bit emotional and I'm not necessarily like that, but it was really nice to see that. And that was both in the survey results and when we talked to people. So one's anonymous, one's not to a degree. So people weren't necessarily hiding this either. So it actually was, it's quite a true sentiment to see that, yeah, developing a person, it's a really major thing for our coaches. And just want another point to that as well is one of the things that didn't come up a lot, or at least the coaches didn't necessarily think came up a lot. It was more interesting when we actually then delve into the things that they did say. But very rarely did the coaches identify that their own development, their own impact and achievements were a version of success. They didn't place a lot of value on that. But when you actually dig into the data, the language I use didn't necessarily line up with that. And I'm not saying that to kind of be catch them out or anything. They talk about the impact and the achievement they have in that same sense of developing a person as well. They weren't there to, I don't know, get paid or get, like, I mean, anyone who's coached at the community level, you often get a little prize, a bottle of wine or something at the end of the year, right? Regardless of what you do or how much you say you don't want anything. Really what the coaches are doing is they're actually seeing, and that this is the impact they're having, is seeing this person out in the real world. They might bump into them on the street and they can have a chat to them and find out what they're up to and understand that they had some, it might be all in their head, who knows, but there might be some reason and some impact that they've had on that person as a coach that's helped them at some point in that person's future. And that actually came up more than once when we spoke to people, which was really cool to hear.
It is. That's super cool to hear. And it's funny you mentioned that because, I mean, I remember it was a good decade ago now, I was coaching an under-12 team. And it was part of my pitch to the parents, for lack of a better term, at the very start. You know, I went through how the season was going to run in the first preseason meeting. This is what it's going to look like. Here's my contact details. Here's what I need from you guys as parents, what this is going to look like. But one of the things was, it's like, look, when the players first walk into the stadium and before they leave the stadium, I need a handshake and I need eye contact throughout. And, you know, that took a little bit of time to get there, to be completely fair. Some kids loved it because they thought it was hilarious that they're shaking hands with an adult as they're 9 and 10 years old. Some of the kids, like I had a neurodiverse athlete on the team, but that took a little bit longer for him to get his head around as to what that would look like. And we made some adjustments along the way, but by the end of the season, it was a case of he could eyeball me, he could shake hands, thanks, I'll catch you on Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever it was as well. That, for me, meant a lot more than seeing them score in a game necessarily. Like that was, it was just a real weird sort of way of looking at it. And it was funny that I did happen to bump into that player 6 or 7 years later, saw them on the street, walked straight up, eye contact, handshake, how are you going? And it's like, oh, this is refreshing. Like, this is really nice feeling that, you know, we didn't win a stack of games with that team or anything like that, but I could see there was a lasting impact there. And talking to a few of the parents that I've sort of bumped into since, they're like, look, we really, that's the thing we remember the most, was that you put value on a handshake and eye contact when you first greet or say goodbye to someone. We remember that more than, you know, we remember that game that we won at this tournament in June when it was, you know, freezing cold in the country somewhere. Like, it was one of those sort of moments. And it is that human aspect of it. It's like, well, look, I like to think they're better people because I've had the opportunity to work with them and those sorts of things, but you don't always know it. And, you know, we can get caught up, I think, in the whole, are we even doing a good job? The scoreboard says no, but in reality, it's bigger than that in that space. And, you know, until it's validated by someone external, we probably don't know. If a parent says, hey, really appreciate it, great. If a coaching coordinator or something like that says, great, you know, really like what you're doing with this, that's when we get the validation. But a lot of the times, I think as coaches, we sort of second guess ourselves. I'm just sort of wondering, did that appear in any of the research at all?
It did. And again, it kind of speaks back to that point I made before, is that was the one thing. So coaches, we called it coach-oriented. Essentially, all that means, every other theme that we pulled out was about essentially the impact that a coach has on the person they're coaching. Sport growth, performance, etc. They're all doing something to the participant. Coach-oriented was like what happens to the coach in terms of the success that they value. It was never really called out. Or when we asked people to rank it, there were two sub-themes. Just, they were always at the bottom. Coaches, whether it was something that they never value their own success. It's not an uncommon thing, I think, people working in this space ever hear. Or again, that's not groundbreaking. People will always say they put the participant first. That's how. But again, if you actually hear what they say, this idea of both impact and recognition does come up quite a lot. And I think the view that, whether it's just coaches or people in general, have when it comes to achievement and recognition, is it has to be a tangible, physical reward. That's what they place the value on when they talk about success in that environment. But the reality was, a lot of these coaches were just like happy with a high five, or they could see smiles, or they could hear like laughter. They could hear and see people enjoying themselves, and they didn't associate those things necessarily with the definition of success. But that's the impact that they were having because of all of these other things that they had set up. So yeah, the coaches didn't, I don't know, they just weren't able to see see the value that they've held and the success that they were having within themselves because of, I guess, the understanding that, I guess, as a culture, we think recognition and achievement has to be a tangible thing. And and coaching is not obviously adverse to that. It is the same. So, yeah, that's we're hearing the coaches, like I said, high fives, or even something as simple as a thanks, coach.
Yep.
Or that's all that was needed. And I personally, if I hear a thanks, coach, or I really enjoyed that coach, I know I've been successful in my eyes there. That's as easy as it gets.
Yeah, and especially with, I suppose, societally, what this new generation of athlete coming through is, they're probably less likely to jump out of their comfort zone and say, hey, thanks, coach, I really enjoyed that, or whatever it might be. So when you hear it, you got to grab onto that thing for dear life and go, gee, that must really mean something if they're prepared to say that.
100%. Yeah, you take it when you can get it these days.
Exactly right. I'm curious about the I think it's one thing to say, look, this is what I believe in, success and all those sorts of things, but then you cross the white line and then that can all go out the window because winning obviously makes an implicit impact in that sort of space. How do coaches keep their definition of success front of mind, I suppose, in that sort of moment where winning comes into it again, the pressure comes on? How do they come back to what their core functionality is, I suppose, as a coach?
That's a very, very good question. There's definitely some people much smarter than me that have probably got some really, I guess, psychological and behavioural methodologies behind that. But I think the reality is, to be honest, Rob, I don't think it ever stops. Like, even it, from whether you're crossing that white line or not, I think what you value is what you value, whether it's conscious or not. So you might say success is X, and then if you cross the line and that X is Y now, I think honestly, you probably weren't being honest with yourself in the first place about what success genuinely means. I think it's more of a case of, I need to truly understand what success is before I step onto that field or cross the white line.
Yep.
I think that's actually the important bit there, is genuinely understand. And I'm not at all saying here that winning shouldn't be a version of success. If you want to value, place importance and define success as winning, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that you have to be true to what that means, both on and off the pitch.
Yep.
Now, winning could include, winning doesn't have to be a negative thing either, right?
No. Yeah.
I think that's the unfortunate thing that people sometimes attach to performance-based measures, is that they're a negative thing. But if winning is important to you and it is a measure of success for you, there are ways that you can be successful and win without placing a negative connotation to it. So think about what that looks like. Think if that can include your enjoyment, your engagement, your skill development. It can include all of those things. So I think, to answer your question, I'll get there eventually, but to answer your question about, like, how can coaches, like, when you step onto the pitch or cross the line, make sure that that is genuinely a reflection of your definition of success. Take the time to think about what you value and what's important before getting to that point. Because and how you get there is just by asking questions.
Yep.
Like, ask the players, ask the parents if you're coaching at those age groups, ask other coaches, ask the referees. Like, honestly, there's nothing wrong with asking questions and actually finding out what people think you're valuing, because I think that's really important. It's pretty hard to hide whether or not you've got a negative or a positive association with winning, and if that's your version of success, simply by the way you act on the sideline.
Yeah.
So just ask people. Just ask them.
Yep. I really like that, because I'm really big on coaches do a team meeting at the start of every season and just sort of lay out everything. You know, here's who I am, here's what I'm about, here's how this is going to function, and those sorts of things. And it's amazing how often those words will come back around at some point during the season. And whether that be about, hey, look, I'm a development coach, I believe in giving everyone equal court time to a certain point in the game, and then if, you know, the last 2 or 3 minutes we feel like we can win, that's how I'm going to sub. That's fine, because it's been explicitly said at the start. And everyone has a point of reference they can come back to if they need to. But if all of a sudden you're week 2 and you start not putting kids on the court for 3 quarters of a game, you can also expect that to come back and be brought up again by the parents at some point in time. But I think it's the more transparency and openness there is with that, the better the feedback you're going to get as to what that looks like, and more accountability, I think, on both sides of it.
Absolutely.
You know, if you value be at practice, that's fine, but lay that out at the start, not 6 weeks in when all of a sudden players aren't turning up to practice and you're wondering why. Well, maybe it wasn't said at the start. So the more you can lay that out, I think, for everyone, I think the better that gets to. I'm curious, where do you go from here at this point in your research? So you're obviously a fair way down the road with it. So what are you seeing as the outcome and any actionables, I suppose, that come from this research?
Yeah. So it's in a bit of a staged process at the moment. There's quite a lot of avenues to explore within this topic. So at the moment, we've really got a good idea and a good grasp of, like, the how of what Aussie coaches define, or like the how coaches define success in Australia. So we know that bit. what we actually need to explore is more about the why to start with. So although I do have some indications, and we have done a little bit of, I've done a little bit of work into analyzing that information, I'm not completely at a point where we know exactly what's going on. I can say, for example, that, and obviously, again, no groundbreaking knowledge here, but life experience and sport experience seem to be something that are going to influence the way people are going to look at success. So we want to explore like the ins and outs of the why. Where does this definition come from? Again, because that's going to really help, hopefully, people like yourself who are there actually to support coach and do coach education. Like understanding why people are doing things is pretty important to how they're going to continue to learn. But we also want to make sure that we get the full picture here. So what we're also going to look into is understanding, say, what our organizations, our clubs, our associations, what they're defining success as well. So there may be conversations that are simply not being had between clubs and coaches or organizations and coaches. And there might not necessarily be, and I'm not saying here that there should be a combined or a singular definition of success at a club and the coaches have to fall into place, for example, not what we're trying to do. But we do want to explore like where the differences are, where the similarities are, like why this organization values this compared to what coaches value at the same organization. What can we do then, potentially, hopefully in the long run, to make things a bit more cohesive, but also understand how the different contexts and different environments can work together to be more efficient, to be more effective in actually being successful later on.
I really like that. I think that's going to be really valuable because I think a lot of the times you get a coaching job for the first time, you actually don't really know what your job is in that space. So a really clearly defined, hey, this is what we're judging you on, assessing you on, working with you towards would be a really great step in the right direction, I think, for a lot of coaches out there that are just trying to herd cats, it feels like, at various times when they're coaching young kids in particular. But where can people, I suppose, keep across the work you're doing in this space? Like, where can they sort of see the results as they sort of come out and move on from there?
Easiest place at the moment is on our ASC coaching webpage. Yep. I can share that with you, Rob, if you want to put it out. But yeah, so all of the, I guess, the overviews of the studies are all on that website at the moment. So that's the easiest place at the moment. But there will be more to come, and we'll certainly find more avenues to roll this sort of information out.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciated the chat and look forward to seeing where this goes as well. So it's I really appreciate the work you're doing in this space because I think it's going to be great for the sport. And when I say the sport, every sport in general in this sort of space. So thank you very much. Appreciate your time and good luck with it all.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks, Rob.
Big thanks to Will Vickery from the Australian Sports Commission for jumping on. It's hopefully a really insightful chat that coaches can take some things away from. And obviously, we are getting to the end of a lot of people's seasons at the moment. And you're doing your level of review on what that might look like. And just cast a lens over what you believe success does look like from your lens as well. That might be wins on the scoreboard. It might be player growth. That might be your own growth over the course of the season as well. There's a few metrics, I think, that we can have a little bit of a look at. Write down where you think you had success this year, where you maybe came up just a little bit short in some areas too. But I think it's a really valuable way to look at what we do as coaches in the greater coaching space in general. So have a little bit of a think about where that might sit for you in the work that you do and the volunteering that you do in that coaching space. And hopefully there's something in there that has helped define that a little bit more clearly for you. That is it for us this week. Thanks to everyone for listening, and we'll catch you again next week on the pod.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Talking Split Podcast. Make sure you like and comment on your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to share and subscribe so that you never miss an episode.